Hey, it's Jamie Sumner, left guard from 1994-95, and this is the Bunch of Nuts podcast with my boys Dan and Cass. Go Bucks.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Bunch of Nuts podcast. I'm Dan. Unfortunately, Big Cass isn't here this week. He has still some personal matters. Cass, you're listening. You know, I love you, buddy. I know it's tough right now. Heart goes out to you, your family. But Cass isn't here this week, so it's just me. You probably hear Carmen in the background. She sees her buddy Zeus. So, not a ton to really talk about this week. We'll get into some basketball talk in a little bit. Went to the USA soccer game last night. That was electric. And, I mean, that's not really Ohio State related, but it's Columbus related. Just lower.com field is – I just got to say this. Lower.com field is incredible. Soccer in January in the freezing cold is still a blast. It felt like you were at a Big Ten football game, the atmosphere and stuff. And I got to say, there's nothing better than a good – national anthem with everything going on in the world. Just hearing a really good USA national anthem. It was awesome. So I kind of want to bring that up because it was a nice little flavor of Columbus, what was going on and stuff last night. But I mean, what also was going on last night? What a segue. Ohio State basketball getting it done on the road. I mean, 75-64. And I got to give credit to Minnesota. They're a pretty solid team this year. You know, I was not expecting them to be, 11-6 at this point. But they were a solid team. EJ Liddell was just an animal, as always. At the end, too. I mean, he was just literally getting buckets at will the last couple of minutes of the game. He was fantastic. 23 points, 15 rebounds. What more could you ask for? I mean, phenomenal performance by him. Zed Key, also good on the stat sheet. 12-8, 12 points, 8 rebounds, not too bad. Arons, I feel like this is like the third episode in a row I have to bring this up, but I mean, his shooting woes continue. I don't know what we got to do to get this guy, shooting right at this point, because it's a problem. It really is. It was good to see Michi back. He didn't do much though offensively. I mean, he did grab 5 rebounds and had 3 assists. So he played well, at least on the defensive side. I'll give him credit. Michi hit a big time 3 in the first half, and it was way deep, like way deep in the Quicken Loans Arena, as they call it, way deep in the queue. But that was really it. Branham was great in the first half. He's, like I said, though, he's always streaky. I felt like he set the tone for us, which is great. I mean, we need a guy like that. He only finished with 11, though, and I felt like I believe he scored 6, and 6 or 8 points almost in the first 10 minutes, and then just nothing. And, I mean, Branham was great, though, for the most part. I mean, I got no problems with it. Look, you score 11 points, you're doing something right in the Big Ten. He's our second leading scorer. I give him props, but I want to see Branham take that next step. And then, we get Kyle Young. Kyle Young looks healthy. I mean, I think he's finally healthy, which is just such a great sign. Is Kyle Young ever fully healthy? That's my question I'm posing to everyone. He's always seems like he's banged up, but last night, He had that insane block in the second half. Finished with 14 points. Had a couple good passes, I believe, to Liddell. So, I mean, he was great. We need Kyle Young healthy if we're going to make a run. I think he's one, other than Liddell, he's probably our, you can argue, he's probably our most important player other than Liddell. And then Cedric Russell had a nice night shooting. 2 for 6 from 3. He's going to do that, though, Cedric Russell. He's gonna be streaky, but that's okay. 8 points, I'll take it. And that was really it. I mean, Joey, Eugene, Jimmy, combined for 1 point total. Didn't do a ton, but you know, they saw time. So I'm just really pleased with this win. Ohio State goes to 6-2 in the conference, and guys, we're competing. I'm shocked. Like I went into the season kind of, you know, being a naysayer on the team, just because they've hurt me so many times. You know, we see this, and you know what? We're getting through January, and it looks like we're going to get through January with only two losses, which is, well, I say that cautiously because we go to Purdue on Sunday, number six Purdue. So it might be three losses. I'm not sure, but that's the real test on Sunday, number six Purdue. Tickets as low as $87 if you're interested in driving to West Lafayette, and this is going to be a matchup. Look, they're a great team. There's no way around it. Jaden Ivey, stud, great player for them, great guard. Then you got Travion Williams, Sasha Stefanovic, Zach Edey. I mean, they're just so good. I mean, they got bigs. I mean, they got literally Edey is a giant. Williams is also. I mean, Williams could basically be a big in Holtman's offense. He would probably be like a center if he played at Ohio State. I'm not gonna lie. So I mean, he's a monster. So right there, you know, it's going to be a battle on the boards, but then you got Ivy and like Stefanovic, and Stefanovic can shoot. I mean, he is so impressive from what I've seen. I mean, they're a good team, Purdue, and this is going to be a battle. I'm not confident going into it just because I've watched a lot of Purdue this year, and they are very deep. But this Ohio State team is very deep too, and we've seen from the after beating Duke, we will play up to our competition. I think we'll be ready. I think that, you know, the COVID debacle we've had with, you know, losing games or rescheduling games, yada yada yada, that COVID debacle, I think it might honestly help us for this game because I think we're fresh. You can tell too, this team looks pretty fresh. Maybe not in the best basketball shape yet, but they're fresh, and that's something that is huge. And I know it's tough with the COVID and everything. I mean, literally, Ohio State had Keyshawn Woods practicing just so they can get bodies, like, you know, former Ohio State basketball player Keyshawn Woods, pretty good player. He's practicing with the team, so it's going to be interesting what happens on Sunday. I think Purdue probably wins, but I see this being a close one. I see this one. I mean, it's a noon tip-off on CBS. This game's going to be a really good game, a must-watch game, in my opinion. I think Purdue gets it done, but you know what? My picks have been absolutely horrible of late, so you might want to take Ohio State money line then, because my picks have been absolutely trash. But I kind of want to touch on something. I mean, this is, just so you know, not a ton went on in the football sphere this week. Some minor, you know, assistant coach hires and stuff. This is more of a basketball episode. And it's going to be a quick episode, but I wanted to touch on Chris Holtman. And for those not aware, basically Louisville basketball fired Chris Mack a few days ago. And you might be asking, Dan, well, what does this have to do with Chris Holtman? Well, Louisville is located in Kentucky. Chris Holtman is a Kentucky native, and I'm not saying it's going to happen, but there is a strong possibility, from everything I've seen, that Louisville might be making a push for Chris Holtman, and it really comes down to, I think, two things. One, pay, because Holtman right now at Ohio State's making $3 million. Louisville was able to pay Mac $4 million, no problem. So, you know, if they pay Holtman $4-5 million, he might want to go to Louisville. The second thing is I would say support. And I'm not saying that, you know, Ohio State doesn't support the basketball program. They absolutely do. Don't get me wrong. Gene Smith, the athletics department, they do a great job. But at Ohio State, football is always going to be number one. That's a fact. It's a fact. You can't even debate that. It's football's always going to be number one. Basketball, we love our basketball team. We're a great athletic department, but football's going to be number one. Louisville, though, is the opposite. Basketball run is king there. All right, and they want to compete. You know, they compete in the ACC. Arguably, you can make the argument it's probably the best basketball conference outside the Big Ten. ACC is going to have, you know, a chance now without you know, Coach K next year, and you know, Roy Williams is gone. There's going to be teams that can step up. I do think Holtman would be a worthy candidate for them. And I would not be shocked if they made a strong push. Now, it's going to come down to the money, like I said, and the support, I think. Because Holtman is a Kentucky guy. There's no doubt he is a Kentucky guy. He's a Kentucky native. He loves the state of Kentucky. And it's you know, when it comes to recruiting, too. I'm not saying Ohio State basketball is getting bad recruits, but I feel like Louisville, you can have a stronger pull in the recruiting game there. So it's just something I wanted to bring up. Personally, I think it's going to be tough for them to pry Holtman, just because he has his program rolling at Ohio State right now. Yes, they haven't advanced past the round of 32, the Holtman special, you know, one and done, or as I like to call it, the Holtman special, you know, win one and then you lose in the tournament. But I think he's built a very good culture at Ohio State. I don't think he's going to go, but I just wanted to address that because I found that super interesting. And we'll see. I mean, we'll see. It's tough. Personally, I think Louisville will go after like a guy like Ed Cooley. I think Ed Cooley from Providence. If you haven't watched the Friars this year, electric, absolutely electric, and I feel like Ed Cooley would be a good coach for them. You know, in his 50s, has some experience, but I mean, we'll see. This is a situation that is really yet to be seen. So keep your eye on that. But I mean, that's really all I got for basketball today. Just, you know, Ohio State got it done. We play Purdue in a few days, and Holtman might be, you know, might be getting lured by Louisville, I would say. But moving on into the football sphere of things, like I said, not a ton going on in the football world. It's been slow. It's January. Not a ton goes on right now. It's just, you know, recruiting and stuff. Ohio State did bring in a couple coaches. I feel like, and by the way, if you haven't read Blake Biscardi's article, our buddy Blake, who we had on the show a couple episodes ago, great article on the Silver Bulletin, Ohio State football, Ryan Day owning critical off-season coaching changes. And it did really well. I mean, we had WWE people retweeting it, so it did great. And I agree with the sentiment of the article, what Blake says. Basically, and Blake makes a great point. If you're batting, you know, 250 in the MLB, that's great. But it's not acceptable at Ohio State. And he's going to have to – Ryan Day, what concerns me a little bit is how much turnover and how much turnover we've had. That's good. That's tough to hit. I mean, it's tough to hit on all these coaches coming in. And we just got a guy from Duke today, too. So it's going to be really tough for him to hit on every single coach. So there's going to be some flops, I think. But I do appreciate that Ryan Day is going out of his way. He's really reading the room. He understands that a lot of changes have to be made after what happened last year. I think he's doing a good job. I think he is. But we're going to see. We're going to see how this plays out, because I can sit here, I can be like, oh, you know, this guy is going to be great and this guy is going to be great. But the truth is, no one knows how they're going to be. Literally, no one knows. No radio show, 11 Warriors, Zach Smith. He might know, actually. I'll give you, but No one knows how these coaches are going to actually perform until we get on the field and play Notre Dame. That's the honest truth. We're not going to know. So let's just sit back and just appreciate that Ryan Day is working to, you know, better the staff, better the team. But, you know, I just hope he's doing it in a cautious way and not a haphazard type way. And that's all I got to really say about that. And just so you know, let me get the name of the Duke coach they got. Sam McGrath. He was the linebackers coach. Well, he's going to be the linebackers coach here at Ohio State. He's going to coach linebackers along with Jim Knowles. So, Duke and linebackers don't really go together, but I'm hoping Ryan Day saw something, you know, whether it be the sabermetrics or the analytics, or he just knows the guy. I trust Ryan Day on this. It seems like he has a plan. He has guys he wants to get for certain reasons. His wife was really excited. She said, posted a tweet, just a girl from Ohio, and they have Buckeyes and stuff, and they have Ohio State gear and stuff. So they are Buckeye fans, it appears. So I'm always excited to bring in, you know, have our team bring in one of their own. So that really kind of touches upon what kind of happened in the football sphere. What I do want to touch on real quick, and like I said, this is going to be a quick show. Just one more note before I get into our picks. Antoine Jackson, he's basically gone. He's officially going to the NFL. We all knew that. But what was really interesting this week was the proposal from the Big Ten. And if you haven't seen it, I suggest you go look at it. Basically, the Big Ten leaders are in serious discussions about getting rid of the two division conference structure. So, you know, no leaders, no legends, no East West. It's just going to be whoever has the two best records are going to go to the Big Ten championship. And I have some mixed feelings about this. I have no problem with the way the games are, like the way the East West is right now. I have no problem with it. I think the system's fine, but it would allow basically. It's probably more helpful for Ohio State at the current state of our program, because the way this is going to be designed, it's going to keep the best teams at the top. So I want to give this example for y'all. So in 2015, when we lost to Michigan State, we don't go because, you know, Michigan State has a tiebreaker. They go to Indy. We don't. Now under this, this is kind of almost like a failsafe at this point where, you know, Ohio State would go over, you know, a 2 or 3 loss Wisconsin team. And that's probably not the best example because Iowa was a good team that year. And they, you know, they were competing for a college football playoff berth. But it's basically a failsafe, I feel like, by the Big Ten to, you know, make sure that they get the best teams in the championship game, which I'm fine with. I mean, I'm fine with that. But it's also going to devalue, I think, some of these games, believe it or not. For example, let's talk about the game. What if both teams are undefeated? And, you know, let's say Ohio State and Michigan are both undefeated. Highly likely, honestly, based on what we've seen last year. Michigan looks like, you know, they're adequate at this point. Let's say, you know, Ohio State, Michigan, undefeated. One of them loses. Well, they would turn around and given, you know, the West is just a mess. Let's just say, you know, Wisconsin still has 2 losses or 3 losses and there's no other giant in the West. It could devalue the game. And that is something that would bother me a little bit. It's tough. It really is tough. It's going to be a fail-safe because I know for a fact it's a fail-safe to almost, I feel like, to get Ohio State in the Big Ten Championship or like a Michigan or a Penn State always. It's a fail-safe for the Blue Bloods of the conference. but it's going to devalue some of these games. I think it has a chance to really minimize the last week of the year. Because think about it. Both of you are in. Both these teams are in no matter what. Are you really going to play your hand? Are you really going to play your hand? I know the traditionalists are like, well, of course you're going to play your hand, Dan. Of course they're going to play their hand because it's the game. I completely understand that. But from a strategic perspective, you know, if you got to play this team again next week in a situation where you win, you're going to be in regardless. I don't know. I think it just could really devalue the game. I don't want it to. I think that's a nightmare scenario, and I'm really, you know, looking at this from a, you know, a singular perspective. But I think it's something that absolutely has to be addressed. But we'll see how it goes. I'm sure Kevin Warren will botch it as usual or something, so I wouldn't really worry about it. We have the whole offseason to analyze that. It's not, and like I said, it wouldn't be till 2023 at the earliest. So we get to enjoy what we got right now. And that's all that matters, you know? So, and before I wrap up the show here, we got to do our picks. So I just want to say, before I start getting into these picks, I've been horrible with these picks lately, my NFL picks. I don't think, honestly, if you just faded me for the NFL playoffs, you'd be a rich man. I don't think I got a game right last week. And I don't even know what's going on at this point. I'm not even making crazy picks. So we got Sunday, AFC Championship, Bengals Chiefs. I mean, I love America wants the Bengals. I'm just going to go with the Chiefs because everyone wants the Bengals. You saw it, 13 seconds, Josh Allen. Josh Allen and then Pat Mahomes. That game was unreal. My mind just blown from what I saw. It was one of the best football games I've ever watched. But Pat Mahomes is an animal. He's a villain at this point. It's not even Pat Mahomes at this point. It's his family. It's his girlfriend. It's his fiance and his brother. Everyone hates Pat Mahomes. No. I don't think anyone dislikes Pat Mahomes. I think it's everyone dislikes his relatives and stuff, but I'm going to go with the Chiefs here because they are the favorite. They are the better team, in my opinion, even though the Bengals did beat them in Paul Brown. They did beat them, but I'm going to go with the Chiefs. So congratulations to the Bengals on making the Super Bowl. And then I am going to go with the Rams in the NFC Championship because I think they're just a better roster. But 49ers, for some reason, have the Rams number. So, like I said, I've been terrible with my picks. So, I'm going Chiefs-Rams. So, on that note, I would like to congratulate the Bengals and the 49ers for making the Super Bowl. And I'm sure Cass, if I had to guess it, Cass would probably have taken... whatever two teams win, that's what Cass would have taken. Because Cass is the one you want to listen to on this podcast when it comes to the picks. I try to be bold and do some random things. It just doesn't happen sometimes. I understand that. I apologize. Feel free to fade me. But that's all I really got for this show. And like I said, it's just a basketball show, really, this week. It's a quick show, too. We are going to have a big guest coming on next week. I don't want to give it out yet. We've had him on before. But that's my hint to you. We've had him on before. Basketball guy, so I mean it's gonna be a good show. We also have another basketball guest in the works down the road, probably for the off season, I want to say. But we'll get into that all on Twitter. But I mean that's really all I got for this episode today. So as always, thank you so much for listening to the Bunch of Nuts podcast, and as always, go Bucks.